Hello, welcome to the Redeeming Grace Church Bible Institute. You can learn more about Redeeming Grace Church at www.redeeminggracesouthgate.org. The Redeeming Grace Bible Institute podcast consists of recordings of in-class instructions from our Redeeming Grace Church Bible Institute. We're beginning a new semester, a new 8-week course on the relationship between God's sovereignty and human free will. Over the next 8 weeks, we'll look at several aspects of this question, but we want to begin by asking, why is this such an important question? It isn't very long in your Christian walk before you will encounter this question and have to deal with it in some form or another. Sometimes people choose not to think about it for quite some time, but it does crop up in all sorts of different places and in all sorts of different ways as we study the scripture. And I think part of the reason for that, and part of the reason why people tend to have so many questions about it, is because we intuitively know that it's relevant to the gospel and relevant to what we claim about our own salvation experience. There are actually several, I think, far more complex theological issues and problems. That isn't to say that this is not a complex question, but something like the incarnation or the Trinity and the relationship between the persons of the Godhead, the relationship of God's infinite nature in the incarnation for in history, those kinds of questions draw upon a much broader set of philosophical and theological problems than does this one. And yet, this is probably the theology question that I get asked about the most, and that people who disagree with me want to debate the most. And I think the reason is that even if you haven't studied a lot about it, you recognize it immediately as being personal. Just intuitively, we recognize that the question about God choosing or humans choosing affects our own testimony. It affects how we preach and what we think about prayer and what's happening there. So it's an extremely relevant question and an extremely important question. And of course, we're not going to solve all of the difficulties here. This is more of an intermediate approach to dealing with it. Certainly am happy to provide references and recommendations for those who wish to study further than where we take it in the course. But it is an important question. It's really, in some ways, an unavoidable question, and it's a question that's very relevant to our personal experience. So, as we think about the options, how to answer this question, how does God's sovereignty connect with or interact with our making choices, there's a range, there's a spectrum of ways that we could answer the question. On one extreme, sort of on the far left-hand side of the spectrum, we could say, look, choices are really illusions. God's the only one who's making any sort of choices, and it's his choices alone that determine what the future will be, and we really just have this illusion of making choices. We're not actually making choices. So there's this sort of mechanistic determinism. The world's sort of like this machine that God has in motion, and it what we do ultimately doesn't really matter. Now, that's not a Christian position, but it's the far extreme on one end. On the other end, you could say God doesn't determine anything. That God simply reacts to what we do, what free moral agents bring about, that when we make a decision, we're actualizing futures that God may not have even foreseen. And so that's sort of this process theology approach that even God doesn't control the future at all, and things just are evolving in a process of decision making and response. That is also not a biblical position. So those are the two extremes. And somewhere in the middle of that, we have a range of options that are available to those who take the Bible seriously. And the tension for a Christian trying to work through this problem comes from the fact, I think, that we can recognize the Bible teaches two very clear truths. One is that God is in control and that his plans come to pass. I don't see how anyone can read the scripture and not see that truth developed in all sorts of ways, really throughout both testaments. In fact, the entire premise of the unfolding of the kingdom promise culminating in the gospel and the hope of the gospel is that God's plans will come to pass, that he can keep his promises, that the future is known to him, and he wins, essentially. The second truth, however, that seems clear in the scriptures, that human actions matter and people are held accountable for what they do. So again, throughout the entirety of scripture, we see this pattern where people are held accountable for what they do. And we see that also connected in terms of the gospel. People will reap the rewards. They will reap what they sow, or the penalties or rewards for the life that they live. They'll have to give an account for choices that they made, and those choices will result in different responses from God. So we have this tension. God's in control, and yet somehow we are also making choices. So any approach from a Christian perspective to try to come up with a coherent and logically consistent answer to how this relationship works has to affirm, in some sense, both of these truths. Now, it could be that we modify our understanding of God's control or his plans coming to pass. It could be that we modify our understanding of human choice and accountability. Or something else. But you have to take those two biblical teachings seriously in how you formulate an understanding around this. We believe here at Redeeming Grace Church that the Bible is inerrant. God doesn't contradict himself. And so if he says both of these things are true, that they are reconcilable in some way. Now, that doesn't mean we can figure it out, but it does mean that the two are both true and both important to our understanding. So there are a lot of different ways people have approached this. And I think one of the things that we should recognize is that we come to the scripture with certain assumptions. And there are really two different ways of thinking about choices and how this could work. There are actually more than two, but primarily most views will fall into one of these two categories. So the first view is libertarian free will. We're not talking about politics here. We're talking about a particular view of freedom. Libertarian free will, sometimes you'll hear it called libertine free will. We'll call it LFW, is probably the default way most people think about human choice or the choice of any free moral agent. And so what this is the idea that there's sort of this forking paths model that we go along in our life and we come up to a decision point and we can either go left or right, whatever that decision happens to be. And if we go left, a different future will be actualized than if we go right. And that freedom The essence of freedom is the ability for us to actualize either of those futures. We can either go left or we can go right. We can either say yes or we can say no, and that it is our choice which one of those we do, and our choice initiates a different set of circumstances that comes about as a result of the choice that we made. So if I go to dinner, I can have salmon or I can have steak. If I choose to have steak, then a future in which I've eaten steak comes about. If I choose to have salmon, a future in which I've eaten salmon and not steak comes about. And so many people believe and argue that if we don't have that ability, then our choices really aren't free. If I have to choose steak, then I'm not really free in that choice. So that's the libertarian view. Well, the issue with that view, or the observation about that view I would make, is that that view would be incompatible with God determining the future with certainty. So it relies on my ability to determine which future comes about. That is likely the most common view that people have. It's sort of the common sense or default view, I suppose, that most people operate with. The other view, however, is a view called compatibilistic free will, or compatible free will. We'll call this CFW. This is a single path. The future is certain. However, the argument here is that our choices are free, because the essence of freedom is not in the ability to actualize a different future, but in something else, which we'll look into. I mean, the goal of this class is really to begin with texts and ask questions, and then we will develop some of these thoughts as we go through the course. But I just want to introduce the concepts. Most people are familiar with libertarian freedom, or that concept, because it's the way we typically are taught to think about choices. However, if we take seriously that the Bible teaches that God is in control and his plans come to pass, and also that our actions matter and that we're accountable for what we do, we have set up a situation where one pathway we should pursue is there a sense in which our choices, though free, are compatible with the idea that God determines ultimately what happens? And that's this compatibilistic free will is a way to try to think about it that way. So in this view, the future's determined, but the choices are free. So we'll dig into this a little bit more later, but I think the key thing to understand here is that those who hold to this view believe that the essence of freedom isn't the ability to bring about a different future outcome. It's the ability to do what we want. So as a moral agent, meaning someone who's making decisions for which we can be held accountable, there's an ethical value to the decisions we make, right? They're either good or bad, and they're going to be evaluated. That we are free so long as we can do what we want to do, or not, are not prohibited from doing what we want to do. So if we want to do the right thing, nothing stops us from doing it. If we if we don't want to do the right thing, we're free to do that as well. And that is what the essence of freedom is. Okay, this is all a little philosophical. We'll get back to this. Our question and our approach and our methodology in the class is going to be primarily to look at texts and ask a few questions. So one of the questions that we're going to ask next week, we will begin looking at texts, and we're going to ask the question, whose choice determined which future came about? And we're going to look at several biblical texts that I believe show us some insight into this. And just in full disclosure, I believe that what we're going to see is that you have to give two answers that we see in biblical narratives, that both God choices and human choices resulted in what comes next. So again, we'll dig into that as we go. So the conclusion, really, of the introduction here is that CFW, the compatible view, better explains, I think, the biblical data. And so we'll work through that, and I'll try to help you show that. And it provides a context in which we can reconcile these biblical truths that we see clearly taught, those two very clear truths, that God ultimately determines what comes to pass, and yet we are righteously and rightly held accountable for what we do, because our choices are free in that sense of us being accountable for them, because they originate with us and our desires. So as we go through the course, we'll look at scriptural examples and try to flesh this out. And then we will attempt to develop a biblical model for how this works. And then we'll end the course with a consideration of how that affects how we think about our ministry, how we think about our prayer life, how we think about the reality of living in a world where that is the way things work. So typically in these recordings, you'll hear a lot of back and forth and question and answer. I'll do my best to try to repeat questions so that you can hear them if you're listening on audio. However, we had a recording issue in the first class period, and so I'm re-recording this initial session. But you can always reach out by emailing info@redeeminggracesouthgate.org if you have questions about where we're at and how to attend. And again, you can learn more about the church at redeeminggracesouthgate.org. Have a blessed week.